There you go. Dinner. Are there good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
Good morning, everyone. This is the first in a series of public hearings the committee will be holding as part of the House's impeachment inquiry.
That's right.
This week, 13 million Americans tuned in to watch the impeachment hearings as multiple officials testified against President Trump. But some complained the hearings were lacking in pizzazz, dull, and not The Masked Singer. So to make sure people are paying attention, we now present the hearings in a way that underscores how scandalous these revelations really are. This is
Days of Our Impeachment, where the only thing at stake is democracy. Starring Adam Schiff.
Excitement, emotion, and none of it from me.
Cross-examiner with a mysterious brain injury, Jim Jordan.
I've got my sleeves rolled up because my job is yelling at a woman.
Former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch.
Why did Trump come after me? I committed the ultimate sin. I was good at my job.
And John Hamm as career diplomat Bill Taylor.
I don't just kiss and tell. I kiss and tell and I take notes.
Like tweets through your timeline, this is Days of Our Impeachment.
Order in the chamber. Ambassador Yovanovitch, your opening statement.
Thank you, Chairman Schiff, if that is your real name.
It is.
Okay, great. I'm only here today because I was a target of a smear campaign by President Trump and Rudy Giuliani that left me publicly humiliated and without a job.
Oh, enough! Enough! This witness is clearly here because she loves attention.
Oh, yeah. I love the glamour and the spotlight. That's why I spent my career in Ukraine and Somalia.
Trump's impeachment is really heating up. It's gearing up. It's ramping up. The gears are all hot from all the ramping they're doing. Their live hearings, the fate of our nation hangs in the balance. For those just joining us, it looks like Donald Trump withheld military aid to Ukraine to try to pressure that country into announcing a bogus investigation of Joe Biden. And I'm happy to say people understand that simple story. In a new poll, 70% of Americans say Trump's actions tied to Ukraine were wrong.
If you've been following the impeachment hearings, I know what you've been thinking. Where is the evidence? I mean, only six of the president's closest aides and associates have been convicted or pled guilty to crimes. I mean, who among us doesn't have at least six work friends who are also criminals?
Roger Stone, the self-proclaimed dirty trickster and longtime associate of President Donald Trump and ally, was found guilty in federal court of witness tampering and lying to Congress about his pursuit of Russian hacked emails damaging to Hillary Clinton's 2016 election bid.
Wham! Clink! Pow! Stone is now at least the sixth Trump associate who's been convicted of or pled guilty to a crime. And I'm not even including Trump's current lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, who we found out Friday is under federal investigation for his links to Ukrainian energy projects, or two of Rudy's two associates, Lev and Igor, who were arrested in part for their role in this whole Ukraine scheme. Remember, these two dummies met privately with Trump at the White House and that they later told people they'd been given a secret mission by Trump himself.
We've learned that both of the men had a meeting with the president and Rudy Giuliani last year at the White House's annual Hanukkah party, where they discussed what Parnas describes as a secret mission to pressure the Ukrainian government to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter.
Days later, we are told that Parnas insinuated to people that he clearly believed he'd been given a special assignment by the president, some sort of, and I'm quoting here, James Bond mission.
That's right. These guys thought they were on a James Bond mission for Trump. Sorry, but these guys aren't 007s. They're just 00s. But this is one where I might believe Trump over them. I mean, I can imagine them cornering Trump in a long, boring conversation about Van Damme movies and canned fish, and Trump trying to get out of it by just going, hey, will you guys go on, like, a secret mission for me? Found out this week that Trump had at least 10 separate interactions with these guys, which means Trump was lying when he said he had no idea who they were when they were first arrested last month.
Sir, what conversations have you had with Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman?
I don't know those gentlemen.
Oh, you don't know those gentlemen? Despite what you might hear from some in the media, yesterday's impeachment hearing provided damning new evidence, making clear that Trump and Rudy were both directly involved in the Ukraine scheme. Everyone should watch these hearings because they make clear, without a doubt, that Trump and Rudy are not innocent.
Not even a little bit.
What we will witness today is a televised theatrical performance staged by the Democrats. It seems you agreed, witting or unwittingly, to participate in a drama.
Well, the Democrats' TV show on impeachment starts tomorrow morning. We read the transcript from behind closed doors. It's almost like the pregame show. And all these people fall into place as if it was a Hollywood script.
This is a television show. It's all about trying to create some kind of environment and to create a spectacle. Adam Schiff loves television cameras. I've never seen anyone who would risk his life to jump in front of one like he does.
You think Schiff would risk his life to jump in front of a camera? Donald Trump is always on TV. If Trump saw a camera on the other side of a canyon, he'd strap himself to a rocket like Wile E. Coyote.
The discussion of the irregular channel you describe. And in fairness, this irregular channel of diplomacy, it's not as outlandish as it could be. Is that correct?
It's not as outlandish as it could be. Yeah, I agree, Mr. President.
Well, they shouldn't be having public hearings. This is a hoax.
And we learned something damning from the first hearing yesterday. One of the witnesses, Ambassador Bill Taylor, revealed that a staffer had overheard Trump talking on the phone with one of his key henchmen, a guy named Gordon Sondland, about the quid pro quo with Ukraine.
Taylor said a staffer of his recently told him about this conversation involving the president and the Trump donor turned ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland.
In the presence of my staff at a restaurant, Ambassador Sondland called President Trump and told him of his meetings in Kyiv. The member of my staff could hear President Trump on the phone asking Ambassador Sondland about the investigations.
This was a cell phone, I take it?
It was a cell phone.
The president must have been speaking loud enough for your staff member to be able to overhear this?
It was.
That's right. Trump was so loud, people overheard him on the other end of the call. I'm shocked he didn't just go all the way and take the call while he was on national TV.
There was nothing illegal. Oh, hold on. Let me take this. Oh, good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The extortion? Great. And the bribery? That's fantastic. Should we throw another crime in there? Maybe like fraud? All right, fantastic. All right, gotta go press conference.
President Trump has joined the conference call.
Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for being here.
Ukraine should investigate the Bidens.
And I'm guilty.
This conference call has ended.
So a witness literally overheard Trump yelling about his crime on a phone call with one of his key henchmen. And just in case it wasn't already incredibly clear what had happened on that call, we found out on Friday from that witness what happened next. The witness, a State Department official named David Holmes, testified that after Sondland hung up with Trump, he basically admitted everything on the spot.
Following the call with President Trump, the member of my staff asked Ambassador Sondland what President Trump thought about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland responded that President Trump cares more about the investigations of Biden, which Giuliani was pressing for.
I want to read a section from Holmes's sworn testimony, his opening statement. In particular, I asked Ambassador Sondland, this is David Holmes speaking, if it was true that the president did not give a excuse the language about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland agreed that the president did not give a about Ukraine.
He literally hung up the phone and said Trump doesn't give a shit about Ukraine. He only cares about investigating the Bidens. He just admitted it.
Holmes' testimony is also, it also showed that Trump's priority was not on national security, but investigating the Bidens. Trump even asked Sondland, so he's going to do the investigation? To which Sondland replied, he's going to do it, adding that Zelensky will do anything you ask him to. Anything? Is this like a genie situation? Then I want unlimited wishes and unlimited popcorn shrimp.
And then today, the AP reported that a second U.S. official had also heard Trump's call with Sondland, and yet when Trump was asked yesterday about that phone call, he pretended he didn't know anything about it.
There was one moment where Ambassador Bill Taylor recounted a conversation that an aide of his overheard, in which the aide says that he overheard you say to Sondland, how are things going with the proceeding with the investigations? Is that correct? And can you fill in some more?
I know nothing about that. First time I've heard it.
Do you recall having a conversation with
someone? I don't recall. No, not at all. Not even a little bit.
Not only did Trump try to extort the president of Ukraine during his own phone call with that country's president, Trump was also calling other key players in the scheme and checking in with them, too. In fact, during his deposition on Friday, Holmes also said that he overheard Sondland and Trump discussing the pressure campaign directed toward Ukrainian President Zelensky. And what he heard was both very colorful and very damning.
I heard Ambassador Sondland greet the president and explain that he was calling from Kyiv. I heard President Trump then clarify that Ambassador Sondland was in Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland replied, yes, he was in Ukraine, and went on to state that President Zelensky loves your ass.
That's right. Trump's henchman actually told him Zelensky loves your ass. I mean, it's classic bad guy talk. The House was also conducting its second day of public impeachment hearings with the former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch. Basically, Yovanovitch was the subject of a smear campaign by Giuliani and was abruptly pushed out by Trump because they knew she would be an obstacle to their corrupt scheme. She's a career Foreign Service officer whose credibility is unquestioned by anyone in either party. So naturally, as she was testifying, Trump decided to attack her.
The president attacking former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, during her public testimony, tweeting in part,
everywhere Marie Yovanovitch went turned bad. She started off in Somalia, had that go. Then fast forward to Ukraine, where the new Ukrainian president spoke unfavorably about her in my second phone call with him. Now she's back in the United States, and the president is being impeached. Coinky-dink, way to go, Marie.
Everywhere she went turned bad. You've gone bankrupt 6 times and botched everything from casinos to your charity to your dumbass businesses. You made a vodka so bad no one would drink. Vodka! How do you screw up vodka? Only Trump. Only Trump could take something that's supposed to be flavorless and make it taste like But the worst part is, Trump tweeted this while she was testifying. He tried to intimidate an impeachment witness in real time. So she responded in real time. And not only was it a bad look for Trump, but legal analysts also suggested his tweet might have been a crime.
The president.
It's right behind me? Is that why you look so shocked?
No, this is just how my eyes look. The president just sent a tweet.
A tweet?
Let the record show that the president is intimidating the witness.
Intimidating? If the president wanted to intimidate you, he'd shoot you in the face in the middle of Fifth Avenue.
Okay, and then would you impeach him?
Well, I'd have to look at the facts, but no.
As we sit here testifying, the president is attacking you on Twitter. What effect do you think that has on other witnesses' willingness to come forward and expose wrongdoing?
Well, it's very intimidating.
It's designed to intimidate, is it not?
I mean, I can't speak to what the president is trying to do, but I think the effect is to be intimidating.
I think there's a good argument that given all the circumstances here, given the timing, right in the middle of this person's testimony, given the nature of the tweet, that it could be witness tampering or witness retaliation.
This could fit into federal laws that are broadly defined in terms of witness tampering.
And that does raise the possibility of witness intimidation or witness tampering as a new charge here.
This whole hearing turned on a dime when the president tweeted about her real time. Now, that enabled Schiff to then characterize that tweet as intimidating the witness or tampering with the witness, which is a crime, adding essentially an article of impeachment real time.
That's right. Trump added another article of impeachment in real time. At this point, he should just start doing DVD director's commentary during the hearings.
As you can see here, that's Marie Yovanovitch. I pushed her out so I could bribe the president of Ukraine. That was a fun scene. And, oh, here's Jim Jordan. We pulled a prank on set where we stole Jim's jacket.
All right, after that testimony, let's all put politics aside and enjoy a delightful snack.
We're just a refreshing beverage. It's clear Trump used his leverage to send Ukraine a message. He wanted some dirt on Joe.
Okay, let's stay focused on refreshment. We're not here to editorialize. Isn't that right, bag of popcorn?
I'm just a buttery snack food. But after all the testimony I viewed, I'd say the president is screwed. He'll probably try to pardon himself.
Fine, whatever. Say what you want.
Still, if you're a Republican, I get it. It's just so hard to say. Is Trump innocent or is he guilty? I mean, all we have so far is a sixth Trump associate convicted of a crime, two more indicted associates saying they were on a secret mission for him, his lawyer under criminal investigation, Trump himself committing witness tampering, the whistleblower's account claiming the president had clearly committed a criminal act, the notes from the call in which Trump mentions the Bidens multiple times, the part of the call where Trump tells the Ukrainian president, I would like you to do us a favor, the president's chief of staff literally confessing on national television, Rudy Giuliani going on TV and bragging about what he was doing, and like a bunch of witnesses saying, yes, there was a quid pro quo. I'm sorry, that's not enough to convict. I mean, just take that quote where Trump told the president of Ukraine, I would like you to do us a favor. We just have no way of knowing what he really meant. It's not like Trump has said himself on camera for the entire world to see that he wanted the president of Ukraine to start a major investigation into the Bidens.
What exactly did you hope Zelensky would do about the Bidens after the phone call? Exactly.
Well, I would think that if they were honest about it, they'd start a major investigation into the Bidens. It's a very simple answer. They should investigate the Bidens.
Damn it, Donald, why are you so coy? But in case you still needed more evidence tying Trump directly to the scheme to extort a foreign country to investigate his political rivals by dangling hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer money, you got that evidence from last week's impeachment hearings. Multiple witnesses tied Trump and his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, directly to the quid pro quo.
Remember how last week there was a woman testifying in front of Congress and Donald Trump, being the stable genius we know he is, decided to go on Twitter and attack her in writing? And then everyone, including a lot of his supporters, said that was a very wrong thing to do. Well, guess what? Yesterday, Tweety Gonzalez pulled out his, his little orange thumbs and he did it again. This time, he attacked a woman who works for Mike Pence.
I found the July 25th phone call unusual because, in contrast to other presidential calls I had observed, it involved discussion of what appeared to be a domestic political matter.
And it is difficult to defend all that, which is not to say that Republicans have not been trying hard. The first technique is to insist that there is nothing to see here because nothing happened.
Attempted bribery isn't in the Constitution.
Attempted murder. Now, honestly, what is that? Do they give a Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry, do they?
Remember, Ukraine got its military aid. It was 14 days delayed. Big deal. And remember, Ukraine never made any public statement about any investigation.
So wait, hold on. She's saying because the deal didn't go through, it didn't matter. But a crime doesn't stop being a crime if it doesn't work. If you're trying to blow up an airliner and your vest doesn't go off, you don't get to go, well, no harm, no foul, and then sit there watching Detective Pikachu for the rest of the flight. Also, Ukraine only got its aid after the House started asking questions, and the Ukrainian president was days away from publicly announcing investigations, but cancelled his announcement at the last minute after this story started breaking. So the nothing to see here defense is pretty shaky. Now, Republicans' next tactic is to claim that the only evidence against Trump is hearsay. It's a point that Jim Jordan tried to drive home by reading a section of Sondland's testimony out loud.
Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019 in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. We got six people having four conversations in one sentence, and you just told me this is where you got your clear understanding.
Well, yeah, of course that sounded convoluted. Everything is hardest to understand when you rush through it like you're listing side effects at the end of a Lunesta commercial. It's the same way that I tend to say a lot of words fairly quickly on this show, and jokes can occasionally slip by you, like they're Greta Thunberg and you're guarding Jeffrey Epstein's prison cell. But that doesn't mean the joke didn't make sense. It just means I need to slow down for a moment so everyone can realise that she didn't even care who was on the flight log. She just hated that he flew so often. The point with the whole hearsay argument, though, is that multiple people have gone on record saying the president was pressuring Zelensky for his own political gain, including his own chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, who did so on camera. So, yes, the fact that there was a quid pro quo is all hearsay, in that you hear people say it all the time. That is why they've come up with a fallback defense. Yes, there was a quid pro quo, but you know what? Those are actually totally fine. Here is a Republican county chair giving that defense a spin.
Presidents make deals. They kind of twist arms, you know, not violently, but they're kind of like, you know, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine.
You don't think he's opened himself up for today, like he put himself in a little bit of hot water, creating this, the reasons for this hearing?
No. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I don't know. That's Trump. It's like, do we want Trump not to be Trump?
Yes. Yes. So badly. I want Trump not to be Trump more than I want anything else in the world right now. I would take any kind of Freaky Friday situation. I would honestly be happy if he switched bodies with a raccoon. And honestly, Trump probably would too. He wouldn't have to deal with the impeachment inquiry and he'd get to keep his all-trash diet. It's a win-win. But second, there is an extremely obvious problem with that argument, because of course presidents make deals. Yes, but they are supposed to conduct American foreign policy in a way that benefits the country, not themselves. It's why Teddy Roosevelt's foreign policy mantra was speak softly and carry a big stick, and not speak softly and try to get as many sticks as possible for your personal stick collection. Now, technique three is to pretend that the details of this scandal are just too boring to care about to make people disengage. Watch Fox Business host Stuart Varney try and sell that idea.
It was unutterably boring, wasn't it? Did you watch any of this stuff? I mean, with Richard Nixon, there was a break-in. With Bill Clinton, there was sex in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
With Trump, it's a phone call to Ukraine.
Right.
What the devil is that all about?
Right.
I'm so sorry this gigantic abuse of power isn't sexy enough for you, Stuart. Although, I will say, if robbery and sex are what you want, the Russia scandal had hacked emails and Trump did pay $130,000 to a porn star. Did either of those scandals turn you crank, Stu? By all means, pick the Trump scandal you prefer. The beauty is, there's one for everyone. And the final tactic here is to claim that this story is just too complicated for people to understand.
Well, there's no quid or pro. You can't keep saying quid pro quo, right? Even though I don't even know what that means, really. I don't know what language quid pro
quo is.
It's
Latin, and okay.
Is it Latin?
Yes, but the truth is, this story isn't actually that complicated at all. The president, by all available evidence, seems to have withheld foreign aid that had been approved by Congress to get something that would benefit him personally. That is a bribe. That is a shakedown. And White House officials clearly knew his pressure tactics were wrong because they immediately hid information about it in a top secret server. And that isn't boring. It's not hearsay. It's certainly not standard practice for presidents. And it's really important that Trump be held to account here. Because if he gets away with this, we are sending a message that he can essentially get away with anything. And if that is the case, to paraphrase an unqualified diplomat, you better love Trump's ass.
Republicans are ignoring much of what the witnesses have told Congress, but they're also ignoring some of the language in that presidential summary of the call between Zelensky and Donald Trump.
Are you a member of the GOP? Tired of all the damning testimony you don't want to hear? Introducing Bose fact-canceling headphones. State-of-the-art, ergonomically designed, and perfect for any GOP member who wants to ignore highly corroborated truths from highly credible witnesses. Simply place the fact-canceling headphones on a primary digit, insert them, and activate the sound-canceling feature. Bose fact-canceling headphones. If you can't hear it, it didn't happen.
When you strip away everything, what we have learned over the past month is one thing, which is for the first time in American history, an American president has used taxpayer dollars to persuade, bribe, extort another president for information that will help him get reelected. That was the initial accusation, and that's what's been proven over and over again with all these witnesses.
This whole thing would make for the shortest episode of Serial in history.
Hello, I'm Sarah Koenig. On this episode, my guest is Rudy Giuliani. Rudy, did you do it?
Of course I did!
This has been Serial.
Trump has pulled this move so many times, and every time we found out that he's lying. Remember when the news first broke that his lawyer, Michael Cohen, had illegally paid off Stormy Daniels to cover up Trump's affair with her? Trump denied knowing anything about it, but we later found out that Trump had reimbursed Cohen and orchestrated the whole thing. In fact, we literally saw a copy of the check Trump wrote to Cohen. We already have all the evidence we could possibly need, and there's still more witnesses waiting to testify. Republicans have no defense. All they can do during these hearings is perform for Trump to earn his approval. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point this week a GOP congressman looked directly into the camera and said, President Trump, the Republican Party
loves your ass.
Not so fast.
Mitch McConnell?
That's right. And the Senate has voted. Acquitted.
But this matter isn't even before the Senate yet.
Oh, sorry for the spoiler. Just tell me when I'm supposed to see it. Acquitted.
Not so fast.
Now, Rudy, you're facing the wrong direction.
Where is it? Oh, over, oh, where the cameras are. Not so fast.
You have a new revelation, too?
No, I meant not so fast, but don't talk so fast. I'm having trouble understanding what's happening. Normally, I watch Fox News in slow motion with the sound turned up to 100.
A ridiculous melodrama that's somehow less crazy than what's really happening in our government.
Gordon Sondland told me Trump was withholding aid to get political dirt on Biden. And I rarely say this as a diplomat, but I told him that was cuckoo doo-doo nutsack bananas.
Not so fast!
Ambassador Gordon Sondland?
That's right. I'm part of this too! And I know that I said in earlier testimony that there was no quid pro quo, but that's because I had amnesia. And now the amnesia is fine again. And I remember there was a quid pro quo.
When my father was 47 years old, he left behind his entire life. And the only home he had ever known to start over in the United States so his three sons could have a better and safer lives. Dad, I'm sitting here today in the U.S. Capitol, talking to our elected professionals is proof that you made the right decision 40 years ago to leave the Soviet Union and come here to the United States of America in search of a better life for our family. Do not worry. I will be fine for telling the truth.
I'm struck by that word, don't worry, that phrase, do not worry, you addressed to your dad. They would have worried if you were putting yourself up against the President of the United States. Is that right?
He deeply worried about it because in his context, there was the ultimate risk.
And why do you have confidence that you can do that and tell your dad not to worry?
Congressman, because this is America. This is the country I've served and defended, that all of my brothers have served, and here, right matters.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.